With summer closing in, I am so ready to ditch my cold weather clothes and say hello to shorts and tees. But I don't want to just buy what's trendy. I want to update timeless, high-quality summer pieces that I can utilize for all seasons and years to come without spending a fortune. And now I've got a lineup of beautiful clothes from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Like premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30. I'm talking about, babe.
There's washable silk tops, 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. It's actually because they partner directly with top factories, so Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you. I actually just ordered their linen shorts, tops, and pants that I plan to wear for this summer because they're lightweight, and I'm so excited to get them and start planning my Quince capsule wardrobe for my summer travels. Honestly, I have so much Quince clothing, and I love it all.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/husband for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince. .com/husband to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/husband.
Dang. Garrett really can't help but dance to our intro song every time it plays.
I love that song.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to our podcast, Murder with My Husband. Another day, another podcast. Huh, babe?
Yeah, these are actually, they're actually pretty fun. Yeah. I'm starting to enjoy these a little bit.
I like doing them, but yeah, I like murder, so.
That's true. No, but I like doing them with you, so it's made it fun.
Well, I have a very, very interesting story for us today.
We will see.
I think this is kind of like what your fear is when you talk about me maybe being crazy, because the fact that I like true crime kind of scares you a little bit. I think this woman is what you are picturing.
Okay, that makes me feel great.
Okay, do you want to just jump right into it?
Yeah, we'll see if I make it out of this alive or not.
Okay, so I am telling you the story of Catherine Mary Knight. And I know that this story isn't as well known as the last two stories that we've done.
Yeah.
So this might be new to some of our listeners. Okay. So first off, I got most of my information from Murderpedia. Do you know what that is?
No, it's like Wikipedia, but Murderpedia.
Yeah. So it's like Wikipedia, but only for murders.
Of course, there's a Murderpedia.
It's so cool.
That's
and
funny.
You can also donate to Murderpedia. If you just go to Murderpedia, you can donate. And yeah, I mean, I feel like if you've got the money to donate.
That's actually super cool that there's a Murderpedia.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can kind of donate to them so they can do research and stuff. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, so really that's the only place I got my information for. It's a good website. Okay, so Catherine Mary Knight. Catherine was the first Australian woman to be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. She is one of the most infamous women murderers in Australia. Wow. And Australia's justice system is a little bit different than ours, so you'll kind of see that through the story. But yeah, it's a big, big deal that they sent anyone, let alone a woman, to life in prison without parole.
She's a celebrity.
Yeah. She was convicted of the murder of her partner, John Charles Thomas Price, in October 2001. So this is pretty recent. I mean, we're in the 2000s.
So that's actually pretty crazy that it took until 2001 to put someone in prison for life without parole.
Yeah. In Australia.
In Australia. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
And she is currently, to this day, still detained in the Silverwater Women Correctional Center in Australia.
Okay.
Okay, so back to the beginning as usual. Catherine Mary Knight was born October 24th, 1955, in Tenterfield, New South Wales, which I don't know my geography very well, but somewhere in Australia. Catherine was born out of an affair that her mother had had, and she was a twin. So her mom was having an affair, And she was the baby of the affair.
I'm just going to say, once again, all these seem to start with affairs.
There seems to be a pattern. Yeah. Catherine's dad, and I don't know if this is a fair dad or real dad, but whichever one. Catherine's dad was an alcoholic who used violence and intimidation to rape her mom. So that being said, her mom would then in turn complain to the girls, Catherine and her sisters, about how their dad was raping her and that she hated sex and she hated men. So from a young age, Catherine had a very bad idea about men and sex.
A very skewed
relationship. Yeah. Catherine claims that she was repeatedly sexually abused by members of her family until she was 11. Wow. But she does say that her dad never abused her. It was just other members of her family. In high school, Catherine was known as a bully and was said to experience uncontrollable rage in response to small things. So the tiniest things, like someone saying something so little, would put her into this fit of rage in high school. But when she wasn't in her, like, raginess, she was actually a model student and got awards for being, like, a good student. But it was just these random, like, fits.
That's kind of weird.
That she would have, yeah.
But she was got good grades. And
yeah.
Okay.
She left school at 15, so she drops out and gains employment as a cutter in a clothing factory. And I think this is kind of what begins her obsession with knives.
Oh, no.
Because she was given like a set of butcher knives because she cuts clothing. And she goes home and hangs the knives above her bed. And keep in mind, she's 15. She hangs these knives above her bed. And like when asked, why are you doing that? She says, they'll just always be handy if I need them.
Oh my gosh. She's like, what's his name? Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah. So then from there on, everyone in her life says that until the day she was put in prison, she hung knives above her bed. Like it was a decor piece for her.
So freaky.
Yeah. So Catherine meets David Kellett at work in 1973. He was a drunk, and she completely dominated him because of it. Like, he was just a drunk, didn't have his life together, and she was, like, wore the pants in the relationship. She was known to, like, fight for David. Like, if someone made David upset, she would go and get in a physical altercation with them. She was always standing up for him. So, like, the roles were kind of reversed for her in this relationship. They get married just a year later in 1974, and at the wedding, Catherine's mom goes up to David and says, hey, I'm just warning you, if you make Catherine too mad, she's going to kill you.
Oh, my God.
Like, she is evil.
So I wonder if she's tried to, like, confront her mom or kill her mom then, because that's weird that the mom would say that. I think
she just had these, like, fits of rage and would just...
Do you think he knew that?
Yeah, but I mean...
No, I was saying, do you think he knew that she was obsessed with scissors? Or knives? Knives.
Yes, she scissors. Had them hanging above her bed. But she also, like, worked with knives.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, that's, like, kind of saying, like, oh.
A little weird, but, yeah, it's okay.
I think David is aware that she's violent.
But he loves her.
But it's an abusive relationship. Like, from the way it's described, I know that normally the roles are reversed, but she is completely manipulating and abusing him, using his addiction, you know, to control him.
Yeah.
So Catherine tries to strangle David on their wedding night. So it didn't last very long.
Are you sure that she was trying to strangle him and it wasn't just a...
Yeah, I think so. She says the reason for trying to strangle him is because he fell asleep after only having intercourse with her 3 times. And it was their wedding night.
Oh, man.
So how could he not do it more than 3 times?
Come on, David. What are you doing, dude? Figure it out.
So, yeah, babe, just so you know.
That's freaky.
4 times or here comes my hands. Yeah,
seriously.
So the marriage is obviously very violent. One famous story from their marriage is that while heavily pregnant, Catherine burns all of David's clothes and hits him across the back of the head with a frying pan, kind of like on Tangled, because he came home late from a dart game that he had made the finals in. So like he went to the dart game, said, I'm going to be home, but then actually like does good and makes it to the finals. So it goes longer than planned. And so when he comes home, all of his clothes are burnt and she's waiting there with the frying pan.
Oh my gosh. We're not even 15 minutes into the story and she's already sounds nuts.
I know. In fear for his life after that, David flees to the neighbor's house and was later treated at the hospital for a badly fractured skull. Like she broke his bone.
Oh my gosh.
But Catherine talks to David and is like, I'm so sorry, and talks him into not pressing charges. So
she really is super manipulative then.
Uh-huh.
She.
Yeah. I think she's just like crazy. Like she's manipulative. She's angry. Sounds like it. Yeah. So David ends up leaving Catherine for another woman later on in their marriage. I mean, it wasn't a good marriage to begin with. And Catherine like goes crazy.
Oh yeah.
This is her first marriage.
If I was David, I would have moved.
Yeah.
2,000 miles away.
Yeah. So Catherine goes crazy. And one day she's walking her brand new infant baby that she's just had. And David is gone. And she's walking him down the road in like the town. And she's like violently like steering the stroller that the baby is in like side to side. And like going crazy in front of everyone in the town.
What? I can just picture people looking at her like she's.
So she's like just crazy. And so then they take her in, you know, and she gets diagnosed with postpartum depression, which is a very real thing. And I do know that sometimes postpartum depression does come along with like violent thoughts or actions.
Uh-huh.
But she was violent before postpartum depression.
Yeah.
So I think that it probably just accelerated her issues.
I'm surprised that her mom, knowing how crazy she is, never tried to, I don't know, take her in somewhere or do something to help her.
I know, but I think the mom, it seemed like her home life was a little hard.
Yeah.
So maybe the mom wasn't as
attentive to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she did tell her husband that, or she did tell her son-in-law that she was going to kill him. So,
yeah.
But the way she said it, actually, like I read the way she said it and she was like also kind of crazy. Like she was like, you better get your effing crap together because I'm telling you if you make her mad enough, she's going to effing kill you.
Wow.
Like stuff like
hey,
that.
Nice voice, babe. Where did that come from?
So like it kind of sent like, it wasn't like a warning with love. It was like a warning with, I don't really like my daughter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. If you're like me, you probably care about eating healthy. I feel like we've all tried a million different ways to do that, but
McDonald's. Nah, just kidding.
But honestly, it became a no-brainer when I got my first Hungry Root delivery. And I have to tell you, I ordered Hungry Root.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then a week later, they reached out wanting to be a sponsor of the show. And I was like, good to go because I already and ordered Hungry Root.
We seriously loved it. Before we were even sponsored and Peyton ordered it just because she wanted to try it, it was so cool. Like it came in this box. There's all these different foods and they're healthy. They're good for you. There's snacks, stuff to make dinner recipes. It was amazing. The very first night we got it, we made our dinner and we both loved it.
Well, and it's really easy. You actually just take a short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations. So honestly, I can just go and pick a recipe. Boom, puts all of it in my cart. It's crazy.
Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients.
So right now, Hungry Root is offering Murder With My Husband listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/husband to get 40% off your first delivery and your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/husband. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you. Okay, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I have definitely learned as I've gotten older that fast fashion is just not it. High quality, versatile items that will last a lifetime are the only way to go. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry.
The best part, all Quince items are priced
50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I have their silk skirt. It's washable. It's literally one of my favorites, and I wear it all the time. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/husband for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/husband to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/husband.
All right, you guys, Audible is your one-stop app for all things audio entertainment, from bestsellers and the latest releases to celebrity memoirs and gripping mysteries. Audible's library is brimming with countless genres to love and new discoveries to make. Dive into an unparalleled selection of audiobooks and explore exclusive Audible originals brought to life by top celebrities, renowned experts, and fresh voices.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Plus, you can enjoy unlimited access to a growing selection of audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts such as Murder With My Husband.
Honestly, I love Audible because I will get into a story while I'm cleaning or driving. Sometimes I get so hooked listening to a story, I just end up finding new places to clean or just end up sitting in my car, which drives Garrett nuts, but I'm out there sitting there.
New members can explore Audible free for 30 days. Also, this March through May, let Audible sweep you into a realm of intrigue and suspense with their mystery and thriller collection, featuring exclusive new thrillers from their best-selling authors. Their selection is designed to captivate and surprise, ensuring your heart rate remains as elevated as your imagination.
New members can try Audible for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MWMH or text MWMH to 500-500. That's audible.com/MWMH or text MWMH to 500-500. So after she pushes the baby down the stroller and everything, she gets admitted to the hospital, and then she gets out quickly. And when she gets out, she grabs her two-month-old baby that she just drove wackily down the street in a stroller. Yeah. She grabs a two-month-old baby and sets it on some local train tracks and leaves her there.
What?
She then storms to town with an axe and starts threatening to kill
people. Oh my gosh. This is like a movie.
Yeah.
This is not real. This cannot be real.
So someone who works at like for the train station or whatever finds the baby 3 minutes before the train was due to cross there. So saved this baby 3 minutes. Because, I mean the baby can't. It's 2 months old.
She's nuts. And it was, wait, so why'd she grab the axe?
She just was threatening to kill people.
Oh, my gosh.
They rescued the baby, whatever, and Catherine is arrested and admitted back to the hospital, but she checks herself out the next day.
Okay, so let me just recap this. So she took her baby, put her baby on the train tracks.
Yeah.
Then went and grabbed an axe and threatened to kill some people.
Yeah, just doesn't matter who she was threatening to kill.
No, she's not crazy.
And this is where I'm like, come on, police. Like, yeah,
seriously.
The second incident, this was only a day after she had just done that with her baby in the stroller.
It's hard. I think there really is just a lot of crazy people, though.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's obviously mental illness. This woman is not stable. And so it's like if we could get her the help she needs. But that's what I'm saying. I don't know if you can like mandate that you go to a mental hospital and actually get the help. Mm-hmm. And also mental hospitals, you know, I don't know if they're also the best thing for these people that need help. You know, sometimes they don't help.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So this woman's running around violently with an axe. Yep. And what happens next?
So just a few days later, and keep in mind, this is all happening because David left her. So it just like snapped her. A few days later, Catherine slashes the face of a woman with one of her knives and demands that the woman drives her to find David.
One of her handy knives.
Yeah. The woman escapes when they get to a service station, so a gas station. But by the time the police arrive, so like she escapes, she calls the police and the police go to the gas station. Catherine has taken a little boy at the gas station hostage. Police then attack her with brooms and they did not give me any clarification of what that means.
They attacked her with brooms.
Brooms.
Like Harry Potter.
I don't know. Like, do police in Australia not have tasers or guns or batons?
I don't know. Maybe not back in
80
now?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. No, probably still like late 70s.
So they're just full on hogwarting this and attacking them with
birds. I don't know. Like, I don't know what, like, they didn't have any other weapons. I don't know. I don't know how it got there. It had to have gotten there somehow, but.
Okay.
Whatever they did, it worked. And they get her admitted to a psychiatric hospital. She told the police later that she had planned on killing the mechanic at that service station because he had worked on David's car, which in turn made it possible for David to leave her.
Huh.
So that was her thinking was, I'm going to get this girl to take me to this gas station, and then I'm going to kill the mechanic at the gas station because he worked on David's car, and David used his car to leave me.
Man, so she's just going crazy. I mean, mm-hmm. she wants to kill everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So David leaves his girlfriend after hearing about it and moves back to his mom's house and gets Catherine released back to his mom's house. So he's like, my wife is going crazy. I need to get home. He goes to his parents' house, gets Catherine, brings her back there to try to take care of her.
Wow.
Yeah. So they have another daughter during this time. But then after that, Catherine decides to leave David this time. And she moves.
What a mess.
But she got an injury at work, apparently, and so she gets, like, a housing commission. So that's honestly why she's able to move, is because, like, the Australian government is paying for her to live somewhere. So she moves out, and that's taken care of. And she's, I mean, I'm assuming taking care of her kids because she has children. In 1986, Catherine meets David Saunders. So a brand new David. So her ex-husband's name was David, but she meets a brand new David. He moves in with her and her daughters. They have a rocky relationship from the start where he's constantly moving in and out and in and out. And in June of 1988, she gives birth to a daughter with the new David. They buy a house together. So it seems like they're actually, like, kind of working. I mean, I'm sure there's been violence, but not enough that it was on police reports.
I just think it's crazy that she already tried to kill one of her kids and now.
Yeah. That her kids are still with her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they buy a house together. And Catherine, being the perfect housewife she is, decorates the house. She uses animal skins, skulls, horns, rusty animal traps, leather jackets, old boots, machetes,
knives,
rakes, and pitchforks. Every inch of the house is covered, including the ceilings.
Just with random crap. Yeah. Just everywhere.
Just with everything I just named.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. After an argument where Catherine hits David, new David, in the face with an iron... Like an iron, like
yeah, like
getting wrinkles out of clothes iron, and stabs him in the stomach with a pair of scissors. He decides, okay, I'm going to move out.
Oh, good job, David. I'm glad you finally made that decision.
Well, but I mean, I think about it in like domestic abuse. Like I know we see domestic abuse as a man doing it to a woman, but this is domestic abuse. A woman controlling a man, overpowering a man. This is domestic abuse.
Yeah.
When David comes back for his things a couple days later. He finds that all of his clothes had been cut up. And so at this point, he decides, I'm going to go into hiding. So he goes into hiding, and Catherine tries to search for him, and she can't find him. He finally returns to see his daughter, because he's like, okay, well, I do have a daughter that's living there. He finds out, though, that Catherine has gone to the police after he went into hiding and got an AVO against him, which is the same thing in Australia as like a restraining order is here, which is like the police already know her record. So I'm just confused of how she was able to get a restraining order on someone.
I mean, it sounds like they aren't doing much at all. She tried to kill her baby. She slashed a woman. She stabbed David. So
I don't know.
I'm confused.
I don't know. When I was reading this story, I was just like,
like a movie. It's wild.
Yeah. Like it doesn't. And I'm like, also, how is this not more well known? Like this hits every point of a story we want to hear. Like, I'm like, she's crazy.
Can you imagine this happening now? It would be the talk of the news for the next 3 months.
Yeah, I know. So in 1990, Catherine becomes pregnant again, this time by a former coworker named John Chillingworth. So this, we're on to our third man with a baby.
Okay.
Their relationship actually surprisingly lasts 3 years, but she leaves him for a man, another John, but this time John Price, who she's been having an affair with. So she's dating John Chillingworth, leaves him for John Price. John Price was the father of three children when Catherine started dating him. Christ was aware of Catherine's violent reputation when she moved into his house with two of his children after the divorce between him and his wife.
I don't understand how you could do that.
The children actually liked her, and he was making a lot of money in local mines, and so their relationship seemed to be working. Huh. I mean, if the children likes you and you're actually doing financially well, that does take a burden off.
Uh-huh.
So their relationship seems to be good. In 1988, Price and Catherine get in a fight because Price decides that he's not going to marry her. And so yeah. Catherine gets super mad. And so she goes through the house and videotapes items that Price had stolen from his work and sent the tapes to his boss.
Oh my gosh.
So Price obviously gets fired from his job after 17 years of working there. And he kicks her out of the house.
Yeah, I don't blame
him. It did say that these items weren't like, okay, not that stealing is good, but they were like items that the company was going to throw away, so he just took them.
Oh.
So it wasn't like...
He was thinking like some gold painting or I don't
know. He was just taking things that the company like wasn't going to be using anymore.
Okay.
But I mean, he still got fired for it.
She's super...
manipulative.
Yeah, like you said, she needs to wear the pants. Like, mm-hmm. she needs to be in control.
Yeah. A few months later, Price decides that he wants to start dating her again, so he restarts the relationship. At this point, the fighting becomes worse, and he loses all of his friends because of it, because his friends are like, dude, she's crazy, and he won't break up with her, and so all of his friends stop coming around, obviously. In 2000... Catherine stabs Price in the chest, and so he kicks her out of the house again, and he takes a restraining order out on her. He tells his coworkers that if he doesn't come to work the next day, it's going to be because Catherine has killed him. So all of his coworkers are like, well, dude, then, like, don't go home.
I can't believe she's stabbing all these people.
And getting away with
it. And I can't believe she's stabbing all these people, and no one's tried to, like, stab her back.
Yeah.
Like...
I think it's because it's domestic abuse. Most of the time, people don't fight back.
Just kind of brainwashed. Yeah. You're just so manipulated.
I love her, you know.
Yeah.
She just has control over him. So his coworkers are like, well, dude, don't go home. And he's like, yeah, but my kids are there, you know.
Yeah.
And so he does go home. And he finds Catherine had sent the kids away for a sleepover at, like, the neighbor's house that night. But Catherine isn't home. So he just goes home. He's like, okay, I guess they're at a sleepover, and goes to sleep. So Catherine arrives home later that night while Price is sleeping. She watches some TV, and then she jumps in the shower. And then after she gets out of the shower, she wakes Price up. They have sex, and then he goes back to bed. Keep in mind, she just stabbed him.
And he has a restraining order on her as well. So. Yeah.
So the next day, Price doesn't arrive at work. And he had told his coworkers, if I don't come, it's because she killed me. So his employer sends one of his coworkers to his house to see what's wrong. The coworker is met by a concerned neighbor who is worried because Price's car is still in the driveway and he normally leaves to work at a certain time. So she was like, why hadn't he left yet? And I'm sure everyone there knew that their relationship was violent. So the coworker and the neighbor try knocking on the bedroom window, but then they notice blood on the front door, and so they decide to call the police. At 8 a.m., the police arrive, and they break down the back door of the house. They find Price's body in the hallway, and Catherine is in a comatose state from taking a large number of pills. So she's alive,
but she's in a coma. Try to kill him and then try to commit suicide.
Yeah. The crime scene looked to the police like Catherine had stabbed Price with a butcher knife while he was sleeping. So it's not like they got in a fight and she did it. It was like they had sex, he fell back asleep, and she stabbed him while he was sleeping.
It's just like a power thing.
Yeah.
She's like, ooh, we're going to have sex, and then I'm going to kill you.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. So, I speak a little bit of Spanish. Okay, that's not true. I speak Spanish fluently for the most part. And Peyton has always wanted to learn a language. So she's actually started using Babbel and she's going to use it the next time we go to Mexico. And I'm really excited to see how her Spanish is.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/husband. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/husband, spelled BABBEL.com/husband. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're jumping into an ad right now, and I, no joke, I've had this question I think about all the time because I hate getting sick. Do you ever wonder why some people just don't get sick? One of the reasons you can help yourself from getting sick is Armra colostrum.
Okay, obviously I had no idea that colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life and is an exclusive source of all the essential nutrients we need in order to thrive. So what's amazing is Armra colostrum is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 functional nutrients to strengthen your immune barriers, your body's inside suit of armor, and the first line of defense against harmful particles from the environment that can trigger inflammation and actually make you sick.
I'm not saying that it 100% works for everybody because obviously you never know, but all I'm saying is I haven't been sick since I started taking it.
Well, and the science behind it is so cool. Armra colostrum strengthens all four layers of your gut wall where 80% of your immune cells are housed, and it's a rich exclusive source of antibodies that optimize your immune defense during cold and flu season.
Plus, in clinical trials, bovine colostrum was found to be at least 3 times more effective than the flu vaccine at preventing the flu. We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/husband or enter husband to get 15% off your first order. Again, that's tryarmra.com/husband.
All right, you guys, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. And I don't know about you, but when I've been hanging out a lot, going out with friends, dinners, maybe my social battery completely drains and I need to take a few days to have a breather. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm a huge believer in therapy. And even if you're like, I just don't feel like I have much to talk about, I don't feel like I have all this trauma, you don't realize how much your body holds on to with stress and just unhappy emotions. It holds on to it. So it's nice to let it out and get it out. Keep your life in order, and that is something therapy can do for you.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/husband today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/husband.
So after he gets stabbed, he obviously wakes up to the stabbing, yeah. And he tries to turn the light on and run out of the room. But Catherine chases him through the house and he manages to actually open the front door and get outside. But he either stumbled or was dragged back into the house. He gets pulled back into the house.
Wow.
And then he bleeds out.
My gosh.
So that's why there was blood on the front door. Because he had gotten outside.
It's like a total movie scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The police discover that after all that happened, Catherine just drives into town and withdraws $1,000 from Price's ATM account. So she killed him. He's sitting, bleeding out in the hallway, and she goes into town and takes money out of his bank account.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah. Price's autopsy revealed that he was stabbed at least 37 times.
Oh, my. I always wonder, like, when someone stabs someone that many times, it's just pure
rage.
Anger. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Pure rage.
They've actually said it's like, stabbing is a way more intimate way to kill someone than shooting someone because you actually like have to like feel the knife go in, yeah, and feel the knife come out. So to do it 37 times, and it's hard. And they also said that these stabs went like deep into his body. Like she was putting the knife all the way in and all the way back out 37 times.
Yeah. Cause I'm sure after 10 of them, he wasn't moving anymore. No. So she was just so mad.
Yeah. For and it's not like they were That's in a fight.
Crazy.
It's yeah. not like they were he, no, he she was, did this while he was sleeping. Several hours after he dies, so Catherine's still in the house, he's died, Catherine skins him. So can you imagine the body that the police found? Like I said that they came in and Price was on the floor, but this guy has been stabbed 37 times.
No way.
He's skinned, and she hung the skin from a meat hook that was in the house. So oh. she basically is a butcher, right? Like she, her first ever job was like at a butcher factory, and then she moved to a clothing factory. So she like is aware of how to do this, and yeah. she just does it to the body.
Oh, that is disgusting. That is insane.
She then decapitates him. So not only did the police come in on a body that is skinned, stabbed 37 times, he's also missing a head. That's the body they found.
This is, I'm speechless.
I know. So she decapitates him and cooks part of his body. She, she plates the body, the meat, with a baked potato, pumpkin, zucchini, cabbage, yellow squash, and gravy. So it's the middle of the night. It's the middle of the night. She's gone to town. She's gotten the $1,000. She comes back home. She looks at the body and goes, it's about time. Skins it, hangs it up, decapitates him, cuts off parts of his body, cooks it, cooks potatoes, pumpkin, zucchini. It's probably, 3, 4 a.m., and makes a full dinner.
How is this lady, how was she not in jail before this? This is the craziest thing saying. I've ever heard.
That's what I'm saying.
This is insane.
So she sets the plates into two settings at the dinner table with notes by each of the plate that were addressed to Price's kids. So she was planning on having the kids come home from the sleepover
and eat husband's
their dad.
Oh my. That's so disturbing.
But before that could happen, she took overdosed on pills.
Oh.
So they didn't ever end up eating him. Don't worry.
Good, yeah.
Price's head, when the police walked in, you know, they're like, okay, well, this guy's decapitated. Where's his head? Was found cooking, literally cooking, in a pot on the stove. She was just cooking his head.
That is, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. After this, sometime later, Catherine arranges the body. So she does all this, right? She like makes this whole fancy dinner and everything. Then she goes back to the body and takes what's left of the body and kind of like poses it and drapes the body over a 1.25 liter of soft drink, like a bottle.
Yeah.
And then like kind of crosses his legs and like poses him. And she did it to like embarrass him. So everything she had done wasn't even enough. She like did it to then make it seem like after he, and killers do this. Like if killers are showing remorse, most of the time you'll find a body covered up or like in, you know, if killers are trying to prove a point, they'll pose a body in like a praying position or, you know, like you see this serial killer, sometimes it's their MO, it's the way the body is posed. Like they love the, and that's what she did.
It's just all power to her. Everything has to do with.
Yeah. She puts a note on top of his head that said, and I'm going to tell you how it's spelled because it's.
Oh, I can't believe this is real. My mind is blown right now.
So it says, "Time got you back, Jonathan, for rapping, meaning raping, my daughter, meaning daughter, you to Beck, which is Price's daughter, for Ross, for little John, which is his son, now play with little John's dick, John Price."
What?
Doesn't make sense. Literally, it just shows where her head was at. It's completely spelled wrong, and the note doesn't even make sense. It's not even a sentence.
She's got her own world inside her head. She's just living in a different world.
So Catherine pleads not guilty to the crimes at first. She's like, I didn't do that. But then after talking to her lawyers, they decide to change her plea to guilty. And at the sentence hearing, Catherine's lawyers go up before and ask if she can be excused from the room just to avoid hearing some of the facts about the case. So it's almost like she didn't know what she had done because the lawyers go to the judge and say, hey, we need her to be excused from the room while we talk about the case.
Or maybe they were afraid she was going to go nuts.
Well, so the judge says no. Oh. No way. She committed this crime. She's going to sit here and listen to it while we sentence her. And when a doctor takes the stand to testify about what had happened to the body, the skinning, the decapitation, Catherine becomes hysterical and has to be sedated. So she does freak out.
Is she freaking out because, like crying, freaking out, or like going, like, you know what I'm saying?
I think going crazy, because they had to sedate her, which means they put medicine in her. She's
flailing all over the place. And okay. Yeah.
And so it's kind of weird because her lawyer's like almost new. So I wonder if they had talked about it beforehand and she had done that.
She started beforehand. Going crazy. Yeah. So they, I mean, they probably knew she was crazy after talking to her 5 minutes.
I mean, they convinced her to change her plea.
Yeah.
So she was sentenced at that hearing. She's sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, becoming the first Australian woman to do that. And she's ordered to never be released. She's tried to appeal many times, but has been denied. And that's the story of Catherine Mary Knight.
Well, that makes sense right away why she was the first person to be.
And also, I think looking at the signs, just like me and you were doing, every common person is going to go, why wasn't she already in prison? And so to make up for it,
they put her life
in prison.
Yeah, I mean, she stabbed people. She tried to kill her kids. I don't understand why she wasn't in prison already.
I know. So this is where we get to something that me and you have talked about before and something that I have, come to the conclusion of after listening to so many cases is how can you even be on a human spectrum of mind and do what she did?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how deep we want to get into that, right?
No, I'm just saying in general, like,
I know what you're saying.
I mean, she obviously was not mentally stable. Like, I'm not saying she belongs in the public. She doesn't belong in the public. No. And but I'm just saying it's not like we're not holding her to the same standard as if you killed me, you know?
She's the definition of crazy.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, that's what we run into with this case is like there was no mental stability for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, the issue, meaning her, should have been taken care of a lot sooner than this, but it wasn't. And
I was going to ask you if you thought, if you thought she was guilty, but I think that one's out of the question.
Yeah. I mean, obviously she's guilty.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, to the point of where was she mentally? Because, I mean, they do in America, they do have like the where you can not be held completely liable for a crime because of your mental stability. And so I don't know if they have that in Australia. I should have looked that up, but I didn't.
It's hard because I still think she should be in prison for life.
I mean, I don't think she should be in the public.
Or like you said, in the public. She should be somewhere contained.
I completely agree.
For the rest of her life.
But it's to the, you know, it's like.
She's crazy.
Yeah.
I've said that a lot, but really is.
And prison, I'm speaking for the United States of America. I'm not speaking for Australia.
Uh-huh.
Prison is about reform. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
They call prison reform.
Is it though? You know?
Is it though? I mean.
That's another question.
I mean, go throw back to our case last week. People did not want to send him to prison. Scott Peterson to prison.
Yeah.
For reform. They wanted to send him there for punishment. Yeah.
Which it is. I mean, it is a form of punishment though.
Yeah. And so then I do believe that people should be held, you know, liable for their
accountable,
crimes.
100%.
But at the same time, I think that people like Catherine need help.
Yeah, it's hard. I think that's where maybe our minds differ as far as why you like murder so much, because you like, well, she needs help. Well, she needs this. And I think my first thought is this lady is nuts and needs to go to prison for the rest of her life.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not taking away from the fact that she murdered someone and that John Price's life mattered.
Of course.
And that his kids mattered and that everyone she hurt in her lifetime mattered.
Uh-huh.
And that she needs to be held reliable for that.
Yeah, you're just digging deeper into it and trying to figure some things out.
I'm just trying to go to a part of me has a hard time judging when clearly
she was not
mentally stable.
Yeah. Well, that was a good one.
It's a quick one. I mean, this is a lesser known murder, so there's not going to be a whole bunch of information on
this. This one was just straight out of a movie.
I know.
It was just like, I don't know, from the baby on the train tracks to running around with an axe to cooking somebody's head. Like, she was a monster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But not a sane monster.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know.
I don't know. That was a crazy one. I'm sure they're not all this crazy.
No. I mean, these murders were uncalled for. They were unreasonable. Mm-hmm. It didn't really make sense. Whereas, like, there are murders out there that it's like, this was the reason why.
Yeah.
Whereas we couldn't really give a reason why in this one other than that she was mentally unstable.
This one was just straight to the extremes.
Yeah.
It was totally extreme.
And I just wish that there was a way that we could see the signs beforehand.
I mean, I feel like you kind of did, right? With
yeah, but it's like, doing. Then she shouldn't have been still with children.
Yeah, no.
And she shouldn't have been
I agree.
In the public. You know, after you've put a child on a train track and left him there to die, after you've stabbed how many people, at what point is it like we just, you know, okay, that's it. Like, that was your last straw.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a hard one.
It's so hard. And I'm just spewing opinions here. No, like, uh-huh. I don't know what is right and what is wrong. Mm-hmm. I would be interested to hear from our listeners.
Yeah.
Kind of their opinion on it, because there really is no right or wrong answer, in my opinion. Like, I can see both sides clearly.
Uh-huh.
So, to kind of tell us how you feel about this whole situation and what we've talked about with Catherine.
Gosh, that's crazy. Yeah, no. This is a good one. I don't know. I'm kind of still a little speechless. Just
I know.
At the end with the whole baking the head and going to feed it to the kids.
I left out, like, okay, this is going to tell you how bad this story was. There were some things that, like, for me to read, it's kind of okay. But for me to say out loud, I wasn't comfortable saying.
Okay.
And so I left some details out in that way. So if you're listening and want to know those details, just go. Look her up, literally Google her name. Murderpedia will be the first thing to pop up and read the story. Or, I don't know, there's going to be plenty of other sources out there on this story, so read that. I mean, the web is a murder person's dream.
Seriously, that and Reddit.
Yeah, right? Yeah, go to Reddit. I love Reddit because it has, like, kind of conspiracy theories when it comes to murder, which is, like, there's not really that much proof on it, but it's like, look, put two and two together, and this is what you get, and I, like, yeah. love those type things.
And we're trying to tell, or I'm not telling, I'm listening, but my wife, we're trying to, like, tell these stories and still be, I guess, relaxed about it and funny and not be too serious.
Yeah.
So let us know if there's anything you want us to change or more details or whatever it may be.
And keep in mind, we're not experts on anything that we talk about. And so this is just straight our opinion. You don't have to agree with us. We don't even, let us know if you don't agree with us. Like, we're completely open to other opinions on the things that we talk about.
We're just talking. We're just talking this out. Yeah. So,
okay. Well.
Oh, we didn't do any of our. Man, well, hit the button real quick.
Which one do we want to do?
Well, she went to jail, so.
Oh man, I know. When I get so into the story, I don't even think about it.
I kind of forgot this time. We're still learning. We're still trying to figure out exactly how we want to do this. So it's new for us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, follow us on all of our social medias. Again, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Murder With My Husband, Murder WM Husband on Twitter. And yeah, follow us. Let us know what you thought.
I think we're going to try to start posting these every Wednesday and Sunday.
Yeah.
We might do more right now just because we're kind of on a roll.
And we're kind of in quarantine. Yep,
that's true.
So yeah. Let us know. And, Catherine Mary Knight, I love it.
And I hate it.
Goodbye.